What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, October 14th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Cameron Hawkins from DualShockers.
Hey! How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
Good. It's going to be a Kingdom Hearts takeover.
I noticed the Kingdom Hearts. At first, I thought it was a soccer jersey. Yeah. In fact, no. Kingdom Hearts, yep. You huge dork.
Yes, I am. Shout out to my Keyblade boys.
Here, oh, God, the Keyblade boys. Yeah, I know, Kevin. Is that a game we have to worry about? I don't understand. Cameron, if people don't know you,
yeah,
who are you?
So I'm Cameron Hawkins. I'm a staff writer for DualShockers.com, and I participated in the PAX tournament, and I won.
You are the second ever Per yep. Schneider Interwebsite Champion.
Yep, played two games that I played Overcooked, but I never even heard of the Chicken Horse game. I was like,
oh, Ultimate Chicken Horse?
Yeah, Ultimate Chicken Horse. I was like, yeah. I don't know what this is.
You did it, though. You brought home the gold / silver, whatever color the cup is.
Yeah, it's fun.
The Amazon thing is, yeah?
Yeah.
So, you write for DualShockers. Is that your full-time job?
No, it's a part-time job. Yeah. I work full-time doing a different stuff, just to pay the bills and everything.
Just to pay the bills, yeah. So, is the dream to do it full-time?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
How long you been at it?
Started in, like, late March, early April.
So, really? That
yeah.
short?
Yeah, it's
Look
been that
you.
Short. Yep.
Is it something you've always wanted to do?
Originally I was my entire life basically leading up from middle school forward, I was planning on being a musician, a music
okay.
educator. But
yeah.
My first semester I was just like, no.
I'm I not hate kids.
No, it wasn't even that. I was just like,
oh, I hate music.
No, it wasn't that. It's like there was so much of a, you just have to have the patience. And I just didn't think I had that level of patience.
Yeah.
And I've always been a fan of film and games like equally as much. And so I was just decided that I wanted to do journalism and like see where it would take me.
Okay.
So I'm very lucky. My editor in chief, Luke Intaldi, just like gave me a shot. You know,
yeah.
he was just like I was just like pitching to different places, and then he called me and was just like, "Do you want to work? Like, do you want to write for us?" I'm like, "Yeah." So I'm very thankful.
What drew you to it?
I just love talking about games. I really like talking in general, and
yeah.
then I love talking about games and my just expressing my opinions. So, get paid for that? Sure.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah. All right. Well, Cameron, boy, howdy, do we have a lot to talk about today.
We
so
do.
Let's get
we
started.
Really
We're going to talk about Blizzard finally responding to the Blitzchung situation, Riot responding to everyone in a question no one asked, and Fortnite dying because this. It's Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you this weekend. Kind of Funny is going to Toronto. Me, Nick, and Andy are doing EGLX Saturday and Sunday. You can get the rundown on kindoffunny.com/events, but it looks like this. Saturday, 12:30 p.m., autograph session. Saturday, 7:30 p.m., Smash Brothers, Royal Rumble on the main stage for a similar crappy cup we bought off Amazon. Sunday, 11 a.m., the Kind of Funny panel on the main stage. Come hang out with me, Nick, and I guess Andy. You can't get away from him. Also worth pointing out, Extra Life is closing in quicker than ever. Saturday, November 2nd, we will be doing, once again, 24 hours of gaming and hanging out for charity. What was that, Kevin?
I was just tired.
But you've seen, I just watched the 2017 documentary in it. You were very happy, and you talked about how much you like hanging out with everybody for 24 hours.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore? That's done? We broke that
yep.
in 3 years? Sucks, man. Join us now. You can join the team, kindoffunny.com/extralife, or you can watch, of course, on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames on the day, Saturday, November 2nd. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed Mohammed. Today, we're brought to you by Brooklinen, Manscaped, and Escape the Invasion, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I think it's just, three items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Now, that sounds very low on things to talk about, but I assure you, you will be strapped in for the next 40 minutes. Right, Cameron?
Oh, yeah.
You've been paying attention to the whole Blizzard Blitzchung and everything else?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yesterday, or no, I shouldn't say that. Last week, of course, all we did was talk about it here on Kind of Funny Games Daily, giving you daily updates on what was happening. However, notably absent from the conversation the entire week was Blizzard itself.
Yep.
So imagine everyone's surprise when they dumped out a giant statement 5:30 p.m. Pacific time on Friday.
Yeah.
Where you put all the news you want to die. But of course, we refuse to let anything die here. The statement, of course, is from J. Allen Brack over at Blizzard, and it reads like this. At Blizzard, our vision is to bring the world together through epic entertainment. And we have core values that apply here. Think globally, lead responsibly, and importantly, every voice matters, encouraging everybody to share their point of view. The actions that we took over the weekend are causing people to question if we are still committed to these values. We absolutely are, and I will explain. Our esports programs are an expression of our vision and our values. Esports exists to create opportunities for players from around the world, from different cultures, and from different backgrounds to come together to compete and share their passion for gaming. It is extremely important to us to protect these channels and the purpose they serve, to bring the world together through epic entertainment, celebrate our players, and build diverse and inclusive communities. As to how those values apply in this case, first, our official esports tournament broadcast was used as a platform for a winner of this event to share his view with the world. We interview competitors who are at the top of their craft to share how they feel. We want to experience that moment with them. Hearing their excitement is a powerful way to bring us together. Over the weekend, Blitzchung used his segment to make a statement about the situation in Hong Kong in violation of rules he acknowledged and understood, and this is why we took action. Every voice matters, and we strongly encourage everyone in our community to share their viewpoints in the many places available to express themselves. However, the official broadcast needs to be about the tournament and to be a place where all are welcome. In support of that, we want to keep the official channels focused on the game. Second, what is the role of shoutcasters for these broadcasts? We hire shoutcasters to amplify the excitement of the game. They elevate the watchability and help the esports viewing experience stay focused on the tournament and our amazing players. Third, were our actions based on the content of the message? Part of thinking globally, leading responsibly, and every voice matters is recognizing that we have players and fans in almost every country in the world. Our goal is to help players connect in areas of commonality, like their passion for our games, and create a sense of shared community. The specific views expressed by Blitzchung were not a factor in the decision we made. I want to be clear, our relationships in China had no influence on our decision. We have these rules to keep the focus on the game and on the tournament to the benefit of the global audience, and that was the only consideration in the actions we took. If this had been the opposing viewpoint delivered in the same divisive and deliberate way, we would have felt and acted the same. Okay, what could Blizzard have done better, and where do we go from here? Over the past few days, many players, casters, esports fans, and employees have expressed concern about how we determine the penalties. We've had a chance to pause, to listen to our community, and reflect on what we could have done better. In hindsight, our process wasn't adequate, and we reacted too quickly. We want to ensure that we maintain a safe and inclusive environment for all our players, and that our rules and processes are clear. All of this is in service of another important Blizzard value: play nice, play fair. In the tournament itself, Blitzchung played fair. We now believe he should receive his prizing. We understand for some that this is not about the prize, and perhaps for others it is disrespectful to even discuss it. That is not our intention. But playing fair also includes appropriate pre- and post-match conduct, especially when a player accepts recognition for winning in a broadcast. When we think about the suspension, 6 months for Blitzchung is more appropriate, after what time he can compete in the Hearthstone Pro Circuit again if he so chooses. There is a consequence for taking the conversation away from the purpose of the event in disrupting or derailing the broadcast. With regards to the casters, remember their purpose is to keep the event focused on the tournament. That didn't happen here, and we are setting their suspension to 6 months as well. Moving forward, we will continue to apply tournament rules to ensure our official broadcasts remain focused on the game and are not a platform for divisive social or political views. One of our goals at Blizzard is to make sure that every player everywhere in the world, regardless of political views, religious beliefs, race, gender, or any other consideration, always feels safe and welcome, both competing in and playing our games. At Blizzard, we are always listening and finding ways to improve. It is part of our culture. Thank you for your patience with us as we continue to learn. Cameron, I just talked a long time.
Yeah.
What was your initial reaction as this all happened?
So, when I read this originally on Friday, I actually, like, just laughed. I laughed because I think that it was just so silly to me in the response in certain aspects that, like, first and foremost, that Blizzard is an American company, and if you're an American company, I think that your values should implement American values.
American ideals. Yeah.
America ideals, like free speech, things like that. And it makes me think, like, what if this was a boycott or something that happened at an event that wasn't in China? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because, like, when they said that was not, you know, being our relationship with China has no influence, like, you know, we can't prove that to be true or false, but, like, who's going to actually believe that? You know what I mean? Like, there's such a big market there that it's just really hard to believe something in that regard. And that the, if it was the opposite way around, where it was like a pro-government boycott, that they would still have took an action, or like, it's not a direct comparison, but like, the lead actress for the Mulan remake,
yeah,
she supported the government in this whole situation, like earlier this year. Disney didn't say anything, like, and you know, and I feel like if that was the case, it would have been the same case with Blizzard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the main thing that really was confusing to me is the whole everything with the commentator still being
right.
Because what did you expect them to do in that situation?
The commentators thing is still something I don't understand where the Blizzard suspension is coming from. Because as we talked about all last week, right, they kick it over to Blitzchung, they see what's happening, they put their heads down.
Yeah.
I've seen once in your wrong, an unsighted your wrong,
mm-hmm.
that said, before they kick it over to Blitzchung, they say, okay, say the six words or four words you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that reported nowhere else. I'm not saying it's not true, but if that's the case, then mm-hmm. I guess it shows that they premeditatively understood what was about to happen. But I've seen that cited nowhere, mentioned in no articles. If somebody can cite it for me and give me an article,
yeah,
about
no,
it,
that'd be,
that would give more context and clarity to what exactly is going on.
Yeah, that would be definitely be interesting. But like, even if they didn't know it was like exactly a protest, you know, against the Chinese government, it was like, what did you expect them to do in that situation? Because like, that doesn't happen, like, yeah. You know, so, and like, I get that the professional commentators that were like hired by Blizzard or whatever it may be, but like, that was, if that was me, I probably would have had a similar reaction. And after that happens, they kind of speak to them to each other in a minute. I don't know what they say, but
exactly.
then they awkwardly like clap, they're like, okay, you know, let's move on, I guess. So it was really weird to me that they're being punished for something that like they as of right now that we think that they didn't expect. So I don't know. That's really weird to me still.
Yeah. Overall, and I'd like to think that on this show and on Kind of Funny Content in general, right, that I try to be as middle of the road, mm-hmm. even keel as I can be, mm-hmm. right, as we take it in and weigh it and stuff. Like, having read this at 5:30 on Friday when it dropped and then having a weekend to sit here and process it and read it once more on this thing, this statement is bullshit.
Yeah.
Blizzard should be fucking embarrassed with themselves. Like, I can't believe, again, this is what they're hanging their hat on.
Mm-hmm.
They had one entire week to come up with something, and this is what they come up with.
Yeah.
This contradictory statement
that
reads almost bipolar as you go through, or multiple personalities, or like, or who are we talking? They start here with it, you know what I mean? Like, our vision is to bring the world together through epic energy. We have core values that apply here. Think globally, lead responsibly, and importantly, every voice matters.
Unless it's inconvenient.
Encouraging everybody to share their point of view.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then, no, at the end, we're penalizing him for sharing his point of view.
Just because it's an inconvenience to them.
And we're not a platform for divisive social or political views. And I think it might have been Jeff Grubb who I retweeted, but somebody on Twitter put it out. Yeah. Or no, it was from IGN. Crap, sorry. Maybe John Ryan, maybe somebody else that I ran into. But it was an IGNer who was like, divisive social or political view of freedom is good.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you trying to say here? Like, and it's just so, it's just, as Gary, if Gary was here, he'd be talking about how it's word salad. It's just talking for talking's sake.
And like, I just want to know, like, the number of lawyers and, like, PR people that Blizzard have through this and thought, yeah, this is good.
Like, and it's what we've talked about all last week, as there's obviously, it's coming down from on high of what you need to do here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely being, all right, cool, we have to say something. It's not going to be well received. How do we go through this? What do we do with it? How do you make it work?
In a sense, I would have been better with them just being like, hey, we hear your criticisms, things like that. We're sticking with what we said because that's, you know, that's just who we are, like, in a sense. But like, this is just like, this is embarrassing. Like, I don't, I don't know what we can. It's just I am curious as to, like, since with Blizzard currently, like, they recently got a new president with Alan Black, and, you know, them being owned by Activision now. It, like, from what I've seen, and, like, from players that are, like, friends I have that are, like, WoW players and things like that, they feel like that Blizzard's quality in general as a company has declined throughout the years since Activision's purchase.
Well, they merged, right?
Or they merged together.
Purchase. Yeah, it's Blizzard and Activision. Like,
so, yeah. I don't know, because, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure the Blizzard previous president, he, like, stepped down because he didn't really like what Activision wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that now that they got this guy in charge, they can more handle the reins as to what they do as a company. So that's a little worrisome, too. I'm not sure, though.
So to go back to the commentator stuff, Nanobiologist links me to a Reddit post, right? Okay. But again, and now this is the comment that's up here, right? It's somebody going, I completely understand that emotions are running high. No, that's not it. Oh, here it is. Sorry. There's a quick translation on this one, right? This is just a person out here whose name is ESL Sucks. They've been upvoted a lot here. But the quick translation it says here is, casters. Okay. So if you just say the 8 words, we'll stop here. Enough chit-chatting for now. Don't forget to put your head down. Giggles. And then Blitzchung. Restore Hong Kong. Then that's even a different thing than what it is, depending on where. But the one here is Restore Hong Kong. Time for a revolution. Casters. Okay. That's enough. Which isn't the translation we're getting everywhere else. And as Matt the Wob points out in You're Wrong, according to PC Gamer, this is what the virtual, the caster, had to say about it. Quote, the director only told me I have an interview, the 26-year-old Taiwanese caster said. He didn't talk about how he's wearing a mask. So when the interview started, I wasn't sure what the situation was. Mm-hmm. So I thought Chung would only say what he wanted to say. Which again is what we've been reading. I still haven't, outside of that one Reddit comment. Now, granted, there's a translation issue here, which is making it even harder to figure out exactly what happened. I haven't seen why they're being penalized for it, but
yeah, it's a really complicated situation,
and we're still in the middle of it. We aren't getting on a story one for quite some time. Blitzchung then put out a response on Twitter. It is also lengthy. I will read it in full. Thank you for your attention in the past 1 week. This is a personal statement and my view on Blizzard's latest decision. First of all, I'm grateful for Blizzard reconsidering their position about my ban. Earlier this week, I told media that I knew I might have penalty or consequence for my act, because I understand that my act could take the conversation away from the purpose of the event. In the future, I will be more careful on that and express my opinions or show my support to Hong Kong on my personal platforms. Many people has been asking, and I'm just going to read this in full, has been asking me if I accept the latest decision of Blizzard. I will discuss that on two parts. Tournament prizing and suspension. For tournament prizing, I quoted what Blizzard said on the official website. They mentioned that I played fair in the tournament, and they believe I should receive my prizing. This is the part I really appreciate. Blizzard also said they understand for some this is not about the prize, but perhaps for others it is disrespectful to even discuss it. People from Blizzard had explained this to me through a phone call, and I really appreciate that, and I accept their decision on this part. For second part about my suspension, Blizzard had changed their suspension on me from 1 year to 6 months. Once again, I appreciate for their reconsideration on this. To be honest, I think 6 months is still quite a lot of time. Still quite a lot to me. But I also being told that I can continue to compete in the Hearthstone Pro Circuit, which they mean the Grandmaster Tournament. I appreciate for this decision they made because Grandmaster is currently the highest level tournament in competitive Hearthstone. However, I wish Blizzard can reconsider about their penalty on the two casters involved. Lastly, many people wants to know if I would be competing in Hearthstone in the future. Honestly, I have no idea on that yet. Since my next tournament is very likely to be the Grandmaster Tournament of next season, it's probably at least a few months from now on. I will take this time to relax myself to decide if I am staying in competitive Hearthstone scene or not. Hearthstone changed the way I live. I really love this community. Blessing to all the players out there, and blessing to Blizzard. As usual, Blitzchung on this one, I feel taking the high road on all this.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate, of course, understanding as he disagrees, but still paying it for, or not pay, paying tribute to Blizzard of, like, I understand, like, this is the biggest thing about it.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, there's not much that he can do outside of that as of right now. I feel like that there's not much more that's going to happen, unfortunately. But, I mean, yeah, he's taking what he can get, and he's, you know, thinking about how he's going to move forward, and hopefully he continues to play, because, you know, if he loves the game, he loves the game. So,
I have it both ways, where I hope he walks. I hope he finds another game to be an eSport, but
yeah,
I understand how tough
that
is.
If he can find another game that's not Blizzard, then,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but then also, I hope he comes back and cleans house next year and wins again.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And wears a Hong Kong shirt.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, though. It's like that, it kind of feels like that he kind of has to play in the palm of their hands now still. Like, yeah. He says, like, oh, I disagree, but also, like, you know, don't exile me because of my beliefs and stuff like that. So, he, you know, just showing his support on his personal platforms now.
We have a You're Wrong from Imran Khan, the former informer and co-host of this show. It's clarifying some stuff you were talking about when you're talking about the previous guy.
Okay.
Mike Morhami, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, was a previous Blizzard president and left because he retired. He hasn't indicated that he had problems with Activision.
Oh, okay.
Activision as a whole has no oversight over Blizzard.
Oh.
The corporate entity is Activision Blizzard.
Cool.
Immersion. And then J. Allen Brack has also been at Blizzard since 1999, so he isn't exactly new to the company.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
On top of all that, Riot put out a statement while we were live on Friday that was not about them. Friday, we talked about how there was a rumor that Riot people couldn't say Hong Kong on the air. Mm-hmm. They were like, that's not true. We did a bad job phrasing it. We're sorry. However, then John Needham, global head of League of Legends Esports, put out this statement. As we near this weekend's League of Legends World Championship group stage, I want to take a moment to speak clearly about how we approach sensitive topics on Riot's broadcasts. As a general rule, we want to keep our broadcast focused on the game, the sport, and the players. We serve fans from many different countries and cultures, and we believe this opportunity comes with a responsibility to keep personal views on sensitive issues, parentheses, political, religious, or otherwise, separate. These topics are often incredibly nuanced, require deep understanding and a willingness to listen, and cannot be fairly represented in the forum our broadcast provides. Therefore, we have reminded our casters and pro players to refrain from discussing any of these topics on air. Our decision also reflects that we have Riot employees and fans in regions where there has been, parentheses, or there is a risk of, political and or social unrest, including places like Hong Kong. We believe we have a responsibility to do our best to ensure that statements or actions on our official platforms, intended or not, do not escalate potentially sensitive situations. We'll always strive to deliver a great competitive experience for players and fans. It may be idealistic, but we hope that League of Legends can be a positive force that brings people together, no matter where they are in the world, even if it's just one game at a time on Summoner's Rift. Johnny Lambeau. What's your response to this one?
So this kind of like makes me think of like the whole cross-play PS4 thing, where it's like, but what about the kids and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Where it's just like they just don't want to have this, you know, they don't want to potentially make this an issue on them and have them be put into Blizzard's position. So they're just deciding to just get it out of the way beforehand, which still looks bad on them.
Yeah.
But it like it stops, you know, potential situation where someone tries to do something like what Blitzchung did on their platform.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, it's weird to me, it's silly to me, but, you know, that's their decision.
Alex Russ, Zero Syndicate, writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, in more news on the controversy regarding the Blizzard bans, Riot came out in front of their event last weekend, requesting players and casters to refrain from sensitive topics. I have mixed feelings about this, but at least Riot established up front their expectations on their production. Blizzard always had the ruling to not say things that could harm people and how could prevent Blitzchung from taking the opportunity that he did. It's truly been the mishandling of the situation for Blizzard. Is this really ideal to control the tone and message of your production or event? Both Riot and Blizzard continue to say, focus on the game, nothing more. But what about the players outside of the game that could thus affect the game we see? Considering Riot is fully owned by Tencent, there could be a conflict of interest here is what he's trying to say. Meanwhile, Tencent has 40% ownership in Epic Games, and Tim Sweeney could still come out and not condemn statements like the ones Blitzchung has made. Excuse me. So, where do you fall on this? Again, it's messaging ahead of time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of sensitive topics, and don't come out and say this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's such a fucking ball of wax.
Yeah.
It's such a tangle of wires on how to unpack any of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it's just like, if the business decides to do that, that's their decision, and while I personally, like, don't agree with it, it's something that, like, again, just trying to get the like the potential like problems that Blizzard just dealt with out of the way. So like if it happens to them, they don't have to like it won't be blown up.
Yeah.
Like Blizzard, because they're like kind of they kind of hypocrisize themselves. But I it, like it is interesting. Like if you know if Tencent did own the majority of Epic Games, would it be the same stance as Riot? You know what I mean? So that's kind of like where I'm at right now about it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
The whole thing. Well, I mean, I'm just disappointed. The whole thing is so disappointing.
Oh, for
this
sure.
Is, I mean, I think since this we started this conversation last week, right, on this thing, it's just been a kick in the teeth of where we're at, and to see these companies kowtow to this and do this and worry about this on such a level. And I get it. Like I do understand part of me, right? Part of me gets this entire situation.
Yeah.
Again, like we talked about in the very beginning of this thing, of if you were to allow this, then when somebody does step up and they are a white supremacist and they win the tournament and they say something like that, legally, what's the line? Why I didn't cross it? You're going to let Blitzchung say, well, and it's like, obviously, it's back to what we're talking about, where Blitzchung's fighting for freedom, right? He's talking about like, hey, like, let's not let this other country come in and rule our country. Let's not let people be extradited against their will. Free the protesters who are out there fighting for a better Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I get all that. And he's talking about, obviously, the atrocities of China. I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, I feel like for Blizzard, they fucked this up beyond belief, beyond recognition. And there's no easy way out of it. There's no solution to this. It literally would have had to have been, if they wouldn't have Streisand affected it, if they would have come out and been like, cool, hey, this technically violates the policy. We're going to dock you this much money. We're going to do this whole thing. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That would have spread around at least internally enough of like, okay, cool. We understand that there's a thing here. Rather than blow it up to this stage where everybody is, where everybody's looking, where everybody wants to see it, where no matter what statement they put out on Friday, which of course they shouldn't have put out on Friday. They should have put out way earlier. They should have had an ongoing conversation with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They should have had a fucking live stream town hall about this. To come out on Friday with this tone deaf statement, we're gonna contradict ourselves in the statement. Like that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then it gets back to what the fuck's gonna happen to BlizzCon in 2 weeks? When we get to BlizzCon, like what the fuck is going to happen?
I don't know. There's definitely gonna be like protests there for sure. Like people are going to be up in riots about it outside of the venue, but. I think that until they completely like reverse this, then a lot of people are going to see like Blizzard, like this giant stain on Blizzard as a company until they decide like, hey, just like, you know, because like it's like how often is this ever going to happen where someone's like going to use that platform to bring up a political thing or a religious thing? It, like it doesn't happen like, you know, like when's the last time that has happened? I can't even tell you.
Right.
So it's just, I think it's just like way too like
it's too controlling.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this whole thing is that when it goes back to what we're talking about and what started the whole conversation in Ball of Wax on this, it was this concern that it's China imposing their authoritarian values on us, right? Or on, you know, the world, if you will. And so for it to be like exactly what you're talking about of like, are we really that concerned about it? Like, do we think on this whole thing again is only going to make more people say it? It brought it all to me. I've read so much about all this shit now, right? Where now it's fucking something I want to fight for and I want to do stuff for and I want to be a part of and I want to help. That wouldn't have happened 2 weeks ago because I wouldn't have understood what the fuck was going on. But it's had the exact opposite reaction here. So to your point, why not just back off this? Let alone the story we did on Friday about American University and these kids, right?
Yeah.
Who did the exact same thing and got no punishment.
Yep. They were just
so, to their point of like, they only care when China's watching. Ding, ding, ding. They only care when China's watching. And that's why even Riot putting out a statement, which again, as you said, they're within their right to do.
Yeah.
It's a private competition. They're doing their thing. They're getting out there. At least they are messaging ahead of like, okay, like, listen, we don't want to be in the same situation. This isn't what it is. But again, it gets so weird of...
Yeah.
If somebody, and based on even the Riot statement now we're jumping from, right, where they're talking about political, religious, or otherwise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I won, I'm some Riot guy playing League of Legends, and, oh, man, I had a great middle lane, and I win the fucking thing, and I just want to thank God. Did I just violate it, and would you go after me?
Yeah.
In the same way, if I was like, I just want, and I want to thank everybody who's fighting for freedom in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't go after them the same way, and it wouldn't be the biggest deal. So, like, again, stop trying to... They keep trying to make this giant smokescreen about it so they can worry about one issue. You're worried about one issue. And so you have to just let the chips where they may. But then, well, can we? Because if we have so much China influence and we're worried about it like going the way of the Houston Rockets and everybody removing all the stuff from the store, like...
Yeah. Yeah, it's just something that, like, we'll see what happens. Well, we have to wait till BlizzCon. That's, like, the next time I think the story's really going to be brought up.
You'd like to think so, but every goddamn Games Daily we're talking about it. What other horror nightmare will happen in this week for this?
Oh, my gosh, I don't know. But, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
We'll see what happens.
We will. Some your wrongs before we get out. Lord of Pwn corrected my pronunciation. It's Morheim. Rhymes with rhyme. Morheim. Okay. So for the resident there. Nanobiology says BlizzCon is being held at the Anaheim Convention Center this year.
Okay.
I don't know if we said LA or something to that effect. Let's move on to gaming news in the gaming section of this gaming show. Number two, Fortnite is dead. Todd Spangler of Variety reports, on Sunday, Fortnite, the most popular game on Earth right now, without warning, imploded into the darkness. It's not 100%. They kind of fucking warned us stuff was happening. Around 2 p.m. Eastern on October 13th, a meteor in Season 10 of Fortnite that had been biding its time set off a cataclysmic chain reaction that sucked up everything on the island and eventually wiped out the entire map. Publisher Epic Games, exhibiting supreme marketing strangfoid, left millions of fans wondering what the hell had just happened. Epic had told players that Sunday's Fortnite event was the end, and it made good on that promise, literally, as far as Season 10, dubbed Out of Time, goes. The official Fortnite account on Twitter offered no explanation for the wipeout. Instead, it pinned a tweet showing a live video feed of the black hole, accompanied by a Spacey Age soundtrack. All the account's previous posts on Twitter were deleted, and its icons turned black. Cameron, did you watch this?
I did. Well, I watched a video of it happening. I'm not really a Fortnite player.
Yeah.
I don't have just time to play Battle Royale games. But I don't like Fortnite just because of the building aspect. It turns me off from that. But this is really cool.
This is insanely awesome.
Yeah, like a really cool marketing thing. It's interesting to see what, like... It's going to be interesting to see like what event's going to happen to bring up whatever the new map is potentially. Because I know that Fortnite's kind of stand out by like, instead of adding new maps, they make changes to the maps with the events to try and stand out from, you know, PUBG, Black Ops 4, Apex Legends. But this is really cool, even though like I literally have like no love for this game. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. Like, you know, as someone who doesn't care about Fortnite, I want to know what happens next. Like, that's exactly, I think they've done exactly what they're trying to do.
There's so much to deconstruct here right as you go, because it is the idea of, I think a lot of people are in your camp, I don't play Fortnite, I don't care about Fortnite, I'm not paying attention, right? Then there's people like me that are lapsed fans that come back to it every so often, and there's obviously people who are playing it each and every day. I think, like... In general, the way they reinvent the map, the way they do events, the way they just do Batman tie-ins or whatever, it's so awesome to get you to turn it back on or pay attention or to get a headline, right? To be the world's biggest game, making so much goddamn money hand over fist, to turn it off, to like they haven't made any money on this game, right, since 2 p.m. yesterday Eastern time.
Yeah.
That's insane. It's ballsy. Still there, right? Like, that's ridiculous. And it's Friday we talk, you know, Chapter 2 is what's being teased. Kevin, I'm going to slack you right now from the chat here. Or not the chat, I guess. From You're Wrong. It looks like Nanobiologist says there's a leaked trailer here. I'm going to send your way, BKD.
Do it.
I'm working on it. Hold on. We can watch that together.
But yeah, I feel like they had to do something big enough to...
Grab headlines.
To grab headlines, to grab people that aren't players of the game to jump into the game and potentially fall in love with it and get new players, and they're sacrificing that with turning off the game. It's really cool. Like, even though I don't really play Fortnite, I'm definitely gonna, when it comes back, I'm gonna jump in and see what the difference is.
And dude, that was my thing, is like when it was I've never participated in a Fortnite live event, like when the map changes. It's always one of those things. I'm usually out on a weekend and I see, I'm like, oh fuck, I would have done that. This was the rare exception where I was at home reviewing something redacted. And then I was like, oh, man, it's getting close to Fortnite time.
Yeah.
Hopped over with 10 minutes to 11 our time here, Pacific, and jumped in, and I couldn't log in. Like, the servers just overloaded. I kept getting the fail feature on the PlayStation, being like, sorry, you can't join Fortnite right now. So I clicked over then and stopped what I was playing to watch Sancho West and his team play through and do it. And just to watch that evolve and have their excitement as, like, everyday fans, my excitement as somebody who loves the industry and seeing different things and how you're going to market your game in a different way in 2019.
Yeah.
And then, like, to see everything get sucked into the black hole and then just sit in the black hole, to then jump to Twitter and see people who were, even if you were on, like, the character select select screen. If yours on the loading screen, mm-hmm. when this happened, the hole appeared and sucked everything in and tore down the thing. And now that it is the world's biggest game, continues to just be the 6 million people watched it live. I believe is what the numbers were looking like online.
Yeah,
Kevin, you want to toss this up? Of course, if you're a video viewer, this is an audio viewer too. This is a spoiler for what might be happening. Looks like we have the leaked trailer here from YouTube. Is what's up right now. So yeah, it's the new ways to level up in it. That's interesting, because of course before there was very specific ways. Looks like you're getting more different badges there. You play and unlock. That's not new. of course, we already saw boats in the beginning. Oh, diving. Okay, maybe you can actually swim this time. 100 rewards. No idea, of course, as of now, us being live here.
You can carry your teammates or something?
Yeah, that's what it looked like there. All right. Fortnite Battle Pass available now. We'll see what happens and when that actually drops. Obviously, imminent. I wouldn't expect it. I would expect by Tuesday or on Tuesday, right? We'd be playing this problem.
Yeah.
Even though I guess I'm not sure as a just casual Fortnite fan when usually, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, the new seasons start. Kevin, do you remember? Because we used to play them. Was it like Fridays or was it Thursdays or Tuesdays? No, Kevin's just shrugging. If somebody call a 11-year-old, they'll know. We'll be able to go. However, there's more Fortnite news in all of this. IGN's Matt Perslow has the following. Fortnite players believe they've cracked the code posed by the mysterious numbers displayed by the black hole. The hole and the numbers are now the only elements available following the destruction of the game's island map. In the hours since Fortnite's map exploded at the end of Season 10, the sole remaining aspect of the game, a black hole, has been displaying a series of numbers. That series has now begun to repeat itself, and fans on Reddit have determined that the full sequence is 11, 146, 15, 62, / 87, 14, 106, 2, 150, / 69, 146, 15, 36, / 2, 176, 8, 160, 65. But what do those numbers mean? The fan community have cross-referenced those numbers with the message provided by in the visitors' audio logs, which players could discover in the final days of Season 10. By picking out words in the logs, for example, the 11th, the 146th, the 15th, and the 62nd word for the first section of the code, players have put together a new clue that makes, at the very least, narrative sense. Quote, "I was not alone. Others were outside the loop. This was not calculated. The nothing is now inevitable." Is the result of cross-referencing the code. This seems to be another message from the visitor, and while fun, offers next to no more context for the story itself. Nanobiologist says the Fortnite battle passes usually start on a Thursday. The nanobiologist actually writes in with a question too. Look at that.
Oh, hey, Mick.
The place. Ding, 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 ding. Nano says, "Hey, Greg and Mr. Champ. Yesterday, Fortnite blew up. My question, though, is this the greatest marketing tactic ever and one of the best ways to stand out from the rest of the battle royale / shooter genres? Fortnite map updates are usually news. Yeah, and now that they've completely deleted the map in an in-game event, whatever comes next will be around the news cycle for a good while. Plus, not many other games make players so involved with their game events. Instead of a cutscene, like with Final Fantasy XIV 1.0, players actually were still playing the map when it got destroyed. How can other battle royales stand out in this way, too, when they just add new maps?"
I think it's already happened with Apex Legends. Like Apex Legends kind of came out of nowhere and it blew up, and there's still a lot of people that play that game because they added heroes and they add new heroes. So it's kind of like that mixture of like Overwatch and in a battle royale sense. And with just Fortnite, I think there's just more going for it as a product. Like it's more kid friendly.
Yeah.
It's more colorful. It's more attractable that, and then having these events and things like that make people come back who are like, oh, I'm taking a break from Fortnite. Like, oh, there's an event, I'll come back. And like more reasons to keep playing the game because, Apex Legends just got their second map and it's only been out for 6 months now. So I think it's just like, there's just a taste that everyone has. Like for me, like my go-to battle royale is PUBG because I like the tactical.
You like the realism
I like,
of it?
Yeah, I like the realism of it. I like how it's super quiet and then you'll just hear the pop shots in the distance. And you're just and then Fortnite, again, it's just way more approachable for a bigger audience.
Yeah.
And then Apex, I would say, is more skill-based with involving the skills and things like that to work as a team as well is really cool. So
the problem with comparing Fortnite to anybody else in the battle royale genre is that you can't. The fact is the game is too big. It is too popular. It is too insane, the amount of success they found with it. So no, PUBG couldn't do something like this. It wouldn't get as big. Like this is being reported on mainstream websites and news outlets, right? Yeah. There was a big thing of yesterday of people sharing videos of their kids crying, like in tears because Fortnite's down or not working or gone or it's the end, right? Kids can't process that it's just a marketing ploy. Like, is it the greatest marketing tactic ever, an animalologist? Quite possibly. It's hard to right now in the moment to compare it to the other greats, but like, for sure, to be at the top of your fucking game and be like, guess what, everybody? We're offline and we're not saying anything about it.
Yep.
No one knows what's happening. No one's why it's happening. This is just how it is. That's fucked up. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But Jesus, like, I don't, like, that's something, that's, you have balls. They have, like, so many, they have the biggest balls over there to do this.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, okay, cool. We're not going to make millions of dollars probably for the next 48, 72 hours. Like, who knows how long.
But they know they're going to come back better than ever.
And it's
so.
And it's like exactly what you're saying, where, again, I'm a lapsed Fortnite player, right? I pop in. I'm for sure popping back in on day one.
Yeah, same here.
And especially if it's got, like, a whole bunch of new ways, level up and carrying people and all these different tactics. That's fucking awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. In the chat, Captain Mark says, supposedly Fortnite will be issuing copyright strikes to anyone who shows that leaked trailer. So everybody strap in. That'll be fun for Kinda Funny. We can have Cool Greg edited it out, right?
I don't know, man.
Is it worth it? I'll hit up Epic. I'll see what they say. You know what I mean? I don't know. Number three. I have a couple of layoffs and restructurings for you. We'll start with Daybreak. This is Bryant Francis over at Gama Sutra. A Daybreak representative has confirmed to Gama Sutra that it has laid off multiple employees in a company realignment. The statement reads as follows. We are taking steps to improve our business and to support our long-term vision for the existing franchises and development of new games. This will include a realignment of the company into separate franchise teams, which will allow us to highlight their expertise, better showcase the games they work on, and ultimately provide tailored experiences to our players. Unfortunately, some employees were impacted by this effort, and we're doing what we can to support them during this challenging time. Several employees of San Diego-based Daybreak tweeted this evening that they had been laid off from the studio. Now former employee Alex Hoffman and former H1Z1 technical director Josh Kirgenhauser posted tweets this afternoon that appeared to indicate multiple employees were let go from the company. Former H1Z1 developer Adam Clegg also appeared to confirm the layoffs. Posters on Reddit appeared to indicate the layoffs hit PlanetSide 2 and PlanetSide Arena teams in particular. Daybreak has been plagued by numerous layoffs and financial woes in the last year, having previously laid off 70 employees in December 2018 and another batch of employees in August 2018. So again, obviously, thoughts out to all the people who are affected by this.
Yeah, that's horrible. That sucks. Yep. 70 employees last year, and then even we don't know how many this time around. But man, that blows.
It's as usual, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, they doubled down on H1Z1. And like, granted, if you remember, H1Z1 was early to the whole like Rust Battle Royale. This is what we're doing. Open. And I remember playing that and being like, this is awesome. I can't wait for it to come to consoles. And they just took forever.
Yeah.
And in that time, you saw PUBG, you saw Fortnite, you saw everything come out and just destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And so to try to get that market share back is so tough. It's tough. Let alone PlanetSide, which is another one of those games that's been going forever, right? I just did Jared's podcast where I talked about DC Universe Online, another Daybreak game that is just going and going and going. Like, all that's awesome, and I'm super excited that, you know, DC came to Switch, and it seems to be doing really well, and they appear not to be affected by this, right? Because they're an Austin studio anyway. But it's also that thing of when I talked to Jared about DC, it's always that thing of you could see it happening. I could see it at any point, somebody being like, they're laying off a lot of teams, they're closing down DC University. Like, oh my God, of course. I'd get it. I get the financials. I get not bringing in new people. PlanetSide's an even different ball of wax, right? Because when do you hear anybody talk about PlanetSide?
Yeah.
At least you hear people talk about DC Universe Online, right? It comes to the Switch. It's doing these different things.
I've never even heard of that game. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what this
honestly,
game is.
If it wasn't for Up at Noon back in the day, I probably wouldn't know much about it either, but that's how they'd come through. In similar news, Starbreeze, who again we've covered all sorts of their trouble, put out a statement talking about their profits and all these different things, but one of the interesting notes of it was this. As part of this reconstruction, assets and personnel attributable to the core business have been transferred to two new companies. New Starbreeze Publishing AB and new Starbreeze Studios AB. IP rights make up the majority of the assets and have been transferred to new Starbreeze Publishing AB. It is in new Starbreeze Publishing AB that the group's cash flows will be generated. basically, if I'm reading between the lines correctly on that, and of course you all know I'm an idiot and didn't go to business school, I would say that new Starbreeze Publishing AB, which is the one that's going to cash flow generate and where the game IP rights are going, that probably is going to stick around, whereas new Starbreeze Studios AB will be the one that goes bankrupt and gets the hell out of there. Now, will any of this work? Who knows? Because they're saying they also had in this thing where they're projecting their profits over the next several years.
Yeah.
They're saying Payday 3 is estimated to take place in 2022 or 2023.
Which is, that is a really dedicated community, the Payday series.
Yeah, but I just don't think you'll make it. Yeah. I mean, I want to be proven wrong, but I don't think we're going to get to 2022 and yeah, Starbreeze is still kicking.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, as this continues to go on. Cameron. I'm excited to see who will be standing in 2023, but that year's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the Mom and Grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Postal 4, no regrets, an over-the-top comedic first-person shooter, and the next entry in Running with Scissors, classic and controversial franchise, enjoyed by millions, rips Steam Early Access, a new one today. Golf 98 comes to PC. Carrot Connect, PC and Mac.
That's a name.
Yorg.io 3 on PC.
That's another
name. The Quarry on PC. Detective Solitaire, Butler Story on PC and Mac. Tank Impact on PC. And Blood Runner on PC. New dates for you.
Greg, huh? You forgot about I Love Rubber Ducks. Brad Bigozzi, you are now going to give Team Kind of Funny for Extra Life $100. He asked me at some point in the show to put into conversation I Love Rubber Ducks.
Okay.
And he
nailed it.
And he said $100 to any charity of my choice. So I was just like, cool. Team Kind of Funny, Extra Life. Brad Bigozzi.
Thank you, Brad. I'm look forward to remember Extra Life coming up November 2nd. Kindoffunny.com/extra. New dates for you. Roof Rage is on Switch October 16th. Now hold on, Kevin. Look at me. Roof. Am I saying it right there? Roof Rage?
Yeah, roof.
Roof Rage.
Oh, wait, no, roof. No, roof.
I say roof, right? But it's roof.
The roof.
I got to stop.
The roof, yeah. The roof. The roof is on fire. Yeah.
Not rough.
Not rough.
Roof.
See, when you say rough, I understand it sounds weird.
Yeah.
When I say I'm on the roof, it doesn't sound weird to me.
Yeah, it sounds weird.
All right. Pokemon Go gets a Halloween event, too. It starts on Thursday, October 17th. That is this Thursday. So get ready to catch
them. Get in there?
I might. They look pretty cute. They got some, Pikachus and costumes and whatnot.
It's got the witch hat.
Yeah. I'm not lying, Kevin. You know I was big on that Pokemon Go for a while there.
Don't you lie.
I can open it up, get a jack-o'-lantern. You know what I'm talking about. It's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooklyn Inn. You spend a third of your life in the sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? When you go to sleep, sleep well on hotel quality sheets that don't cost an arm and a leg. Brooklyn Inn sheets were named winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. They have raving reviews from Business Insider, Apartment Therapy, and Men's Health. They have more than 35,000 five-star reviews, more than any other online bedding company, and 500,000 happy sleepers and counting. Right, Andy?
Yeah, I use them.
Do you use them? Yeah. You like them?
Love them.
Okay. These are luxury sheets, towels, bedding, and more without the luxury markup. Brooklyn Inn was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and directly with consumers. No middlemen, just a great product and service. I, of course, love mine. You've heard me talk about them repeatedly. The ones with when I take a Porty photo, he's on it usually. I went there and I was able to mix and match, and it was simple to get, and I love them. Brooklyn.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklyn.com. Brooklyn Inn is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Next sponsor is Manscaped. Support for Kind of Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Halloween is right around the corner, and you don't want to spook someone with your scary bush. You might be Chewbacca, Bigfoot, or a hairy bear, but it's what's under the costume that really matters. Now, a whole bunch of other people are hosting the show this week, so here's what I wrote, because I want to be the first person to say it, all right? Okay. Greg and Tim are using Manscaped, and they both look at each other. They both looked at each other yesterday in the office, and were like, looking good, man. Don't be the hairy guy. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 2.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find their electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 2.0. This waterproof and skin-safe technology will protect you from nicking your pumpkins. You can create less mess by trimming in the shower. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why aren't you putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? For on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray as well. It's time to get clean and mean with this Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Stay sexy this Halloween. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code GAMES. And the final sponsor of the day is Escape the Invasion. Ever wonder what you'd do if you find yourself in the middle of a post-apocalyptic world that has been ravaged by a deadly virus infected by aliens? Looking for a unique date night or game night that gets you off your devices and truly interacting with each other? Then you've got to check out this game, Escape the Invasion. It's all about immersive experiences, and they just announced the launch of their new post-apocalyptic themed subscription box. From the makers of Hunt a Killer, which Jen and I subscribe to, the popular true crime mystery subscription game, comes Escape the Invasion, the sci-fi game where you are a survivor on a rapidly dying Earth after an alien invasion. You find refuge in a government bunker, but is it safer than the outside world? Can you trust your fellow survivors? You think you're safe now and you found refuge, but there is a council that creates and controls every aspect of life in the bunker. What will you choose, freedom or safety? With Escape the Invasion, you will receive a box of clues, physical items, and evidence each month. It's up to you to piece it all together, solve the mystery, and save humanity. Not everything is as it seems in this challenging game where you must decide who to trust. Your decision will determine the fate of your story, the bunker, and maybe even humanity itself. Escape the Invasion is a great way to get you off your phone and playing with other people, so why not try it? Right now, our listeners can go to escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. That's escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. Escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames. Can you survive the alien apocalypse? Woo! Have you ever played those games?
No.
Hunt a Killer is cool. Okay. Like I have not played Escape the Invasion. But you get the box, you open it up, and it's like a tabletop game with a bottle of wine. It's great. Doing Okay writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, is it silly to upgrade to the PlayStation 4 Pro at this point? I recently got my first 4K TV with the same deal Greg used, and I'd love to play The Last of Us Part 2 in 4K. But it's hard to justify giving the impending PlayStation 5. Do you think The Last of Us will run well? Last of Us Part 2 will run well on an OG PS4.
I would say no, unless you really, 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 really love The Last of Us as a series, because there's you'd think a Last of Us Part 2 themed PS4 Pro
at launch. Oh, you mean
like the themed PS4 Pro?
Have they not announced that yet? They didn't want
Death Stranding recently.
I guess those come later. We've seen the LE Special Edition and all that crap, but we haven't seen it.
I'm sure that
they definitely will.
Yeah, because I had a PS4 Pro. I had the white one, but then the Kingdom Hearts 3 one was announced. I'm like, oh yeah,
you gotta get that. You're wearing
so
the
yeah. But and, I'm gonna keep that forever. But if you're not, if you don't need that, then I would say no. Also, it's going to be ported to PS5. There's going to be
Backwards compatible.
Or it's backwards compatible. Yeah. That's true. Unless they do update graphics, kind of a remaster type
thing.
Yeah,
I bet they drop a 4 or 8K texture pack bullshit like that.
I'm sure they'll do something like that. So it's really up to you. I would probably lean towards no.
I would say at this point, why don't do it? Yeah. I mean, that sucks because you have to go another year of not having it in 4K or whatever, but you also don't know what you're missing probably, so that's fine.
Also, I'm pretty sure that they said that they built the game to specifically for the OG PS4, mm-hmm. not the Pro. So, there's going to be the enhancements, but so it should run plenty well on PS4.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about how it'll actually perform as much as I know you want to use your 4K TV.
Yeah, and the way it'll look, I think it'll look good. I think it'll look good.
I say wait.
Yeah.
Get the PlayStation 5 at launch, because that's how you just justify it, right?
Yep.
Well, there's the $300 I didn't spend, or was it $400? Yeah, I didn't spend. So now, even if I just add an extra $100 to it for $500, how much do you think the PlayStation?
I think it's going to be $500. Yeah. I think both systems, $500.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Cameron. We've come to the part of the show where you tell us more about yourself. What's your favorite game of all time?
Kingdom Hearts 2, Final Mix.
Why?
Why? Why do I? Oh, that's such a loaded question. So.
It really is, Greg.
Hey, man, I'm not allowed to ask.
So on the more base level, on the more base level, I love, I love Disney, and it's a game where you can go team up with Disney characters, sure. And the gameplay, I think, especially in Kingdom Hearts 2, is like so solid. Like to this day, like if you play Kingdom Hearts 2 to this day, that game plays equally as well as it did. Like it still plays like butter. Like the gameplay is super fun and satisfying as Sora evolves. There's so much like variety in the things that you can do with the gameplay with it. And like, yeah, it's like, oh, it's, you know, you mash X to win or across to win. But if you plan
you don't
on,
have to, you don't have to do that. You don't have to correct yourself.
Yeah.
That.
Sorry. If you, I do say X normally. I do not say cross. And, but when you play on harder difficulties, you can't just do that to win. You have to strategize. You have to like be more, tactical with how you execute, attacks with enemies. And the story, like the story, if you play all the games, the story's not as complicated as you think. That is like, I hate when people say, oh, it doesn't make any sense. Like it makes sense. You just gotta play all the games, not just 1, 2, 3.
Do I have to play Birth by Sleep?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Birth by Sleep is great. I think it's the second best game in the series.
Wow.
So yeah, really good. So yeah. And then, there are characters in that game that I just like really, really, resonate with that I can really relate to. And just as someone who, because I was originally born, like me and my mom are from England. I was born in England, but we moved to. We moved to the States like when I was a kid. So when I was very young. So I didn't have a lot of family to be around outside of my direct family. And this like game like taught me, you know, your friends are your family, you know, like, and to just be, you know, don't be rude to, like, I don't like have any reason to dislike you. Unless you give me a reason to dislike you, you know, it's like, it's really hard for me to like strongly dislike a person. And I think that Kingdom Hearts has helped me with that mentality. So, I think it's a really, special series, flaws and all. Kingdom Hearts 3 is not my game of the year this year.
Wow.
It's not.
What is?
The Walking Dead final season. And I,
and
I was talking, I heard your thoughts about that and we can talk about that like off camera.
Sure.
But, I see your criticisms with that bit.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, it doesn't matter because I think the main point of that moment and the game as a whole was showing the comparisons of Lee and Clementine to Clementine and AJ, with Clementine being like this naive girl that has to adapt into this world, with AJ being born and raised into this world and how he reacts to everything, especially because he's more like stubborn and upfront instead of Clementine, who was originally very innocent, and how those two characters like translate to each other. I thought the game was super powerful in that sense, and like the specific scenes just like super powerful. And I didn't think any episode was really like at all like a waste of time. Like I always felt like what was you were doing was pushing the story forward.
Sure.
That's my personal game of the year, but honestly I don't think this has been a very good year of games in general. So
that doesn't mean the games have been crap. It just means I was having a conversation with some, it's just like, think about last year at this point, right? Mm-hmm. We were like, Spider-Man, God of War. There was like these games where like you were like, and then we were all like, Red Dead's coming too. Like we knew there was these AAA, these gigantic experiences. And maybe, you know, even Obra Den, right? Like it wasn't AAA. Like you had these front runners where everybody was like, ah, oh, no, it's this, you're crazy, it's this, blah, blah. And this year is really like Control.
Yeah, I haven't played Control yet. I played Sekiro.
RE,
I
think it's good. Resident Evil 2.
I played Resident Evil 2 and I enjoy it, but it's I played enough of it. It's like, yeah, this is a good game, but it's just not like a me game.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm waiting for one to. I mean, for me, with the game of the year, right? It's always when I would vote at IGN and when we make the argument here, I'm like, this is as good as gaming got in 20 whatever or whatever year it is, right?
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting for that game that I pop in and from start to finish, I'm like, this is incredible. Just give me more.
Yeah. See, I just like found like I just went through a vast number of emotions, throughout The Walking Dead, like. Partially just due to like decisions that characters made, like AJ at the end of episode one and things like that, on top of Clementine being one of my favorite video game characters ever, that like it just, I think it meshed very well together.
Did you play it all at once or did you do it as it came?
I believe I played it all at once. I believe I did.
Smart.
Yeah, I normally, with those games, I normally wait until they're all out and then I go through. And I was really scared, like sad when the Telltale Fallout happened. I was just like, I need to know the end of Clementine's story.
Yeah,
so.
Yep. You could give me 100 games to pick for your game of the year. I don't think I would have come up with Walking Dead Final Season.
A lot of people
don't. I'm proud of you.
A lot of people don't.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, Ash and Rabs needs help on PlayStation. Or no, I'm sorry, on PC. Sorry, force of habit. PC. We're on Origin. The name there is SG_Rabs72. Looking for people to play Apex Legends with. My work hours have changed and girlfriend works in the morning, so I pretty much can only play in the normal work hours of everyone else. Look for me being online from 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. most days except Mondays and Fridays, which are my days off. If you want to play Apex Legends with Ashen, hit him up. PC. Origins. SG_Rabs72.
He didn't say what time. Like what
time zone?
What time zone?
Oh, rookie mistake. Rookie mistake. You know what I mean? A lot of people in Antarctica are going to hit him up now. Do it.
Yeah, maybe put in you're wrong or something for tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah. And then you're wrong. We kept up with live today, so we're all fine on that. Which means I get to run you through who's hosting Kinda Funny Games Daily this week. Tomorrow, Imran and Fran. Wednesday, Imran and Gary Whitta. Thursday, Greg and Fran. Friday, Imran and Tim. The Kinda Funny Games cast is Thursday, the 16th at 2 p.m. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. It is myself, Tim, Fran, and Imran. We will have many things to talk about.
Yeah.
A few different embargoes are up, I believe. Yes, that'll work. We're in the season of embargoes now, where I've had to put them all in the calendar.
Did any of you guys play Indivisible?
No.
Oh, you should definitely play that game.
Give me the pitch, because I've seen it. It's from the Shantae people, right?
It's from Skullgirls. Skullgirls.
Oh, Skullgirls. You're right.
So it's a platformer action RPG. I reviewed the game. I gave it a 9.5. It's basically a platforming. You use the weapons that you get throughout the game to extend the platforming, and you're basically this woman, this young girl who's like part god, and she gets like these powers as it progresses. And the way that it translates with her relationship with her friends in directly into her powers as the game progresses, there's a certain point where that starts happening, and I thought it was like really like powerful storytelling in that sense. And the platform, like the platforming is super fun, super solid, satisfying, and the characters are very charismatic, very charming, like a lot of detail, a lot of unique gameplay aspects. I think it's definitely a game worth playing. It's on PS4, Xbox, and PC, $40. It's coming to Switch soon, so if you want to wait for Switch, get on Switch.
Awesome. Cameron, where can people keep up with you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Don't really use Instagram, but Twitter at the Cinephile Guy. And that's where I normally post everything, like my unpopular opinions and all those things.
Your unpopular
I'm known
opinions.
For having unpopular opinions.
Yeah.
So.
Here in the Kinda Funny community.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Did you have
fun? It was great.
All right, great.
Loved it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every week down a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Questions, comments, concerns there. Watch it live, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. You're wrong us at kindafunny.com/you're wrong. And of course, get it on demand, youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.